Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
So in Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 4. He says, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. And hopefully we've been in this series 5 weeks to 6 weeks, that you have an understanding of the overall view of the book. That here is Paul. He's writing to this church at Philippi. And he has this love for this church, because this church supported his ministry with a gift, a financial gift, material gifts, and he has this love for this church. So he's writing to this church, and Paul is on house arrest, and we realize that he is in prison. He's actually on his way to what we consider Nero's chopping block to be beheaded. So here he is, he's in prison, but he has such great love for this church in the midst of suffering that he has joy. So can I pause for a moment? Even through suffering, you need to have joy. It is what it is, and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. And I love one of my good pastors who went on to be with the Lord. He had cancer. He believed to the end. And finally he said, hey, it wasn't God's will to heal me on this side. He wants to bring me to glory. But I never forget that. He said, Eric, sometimes you squeeze people, and what they ooze is what they ooze. And sometimes life squeezes us and we complain. Life squeezes us and we murmur. He said, but you have to choose that when life squeezes you, you ooze joy. So how about you this morning? Even our children. How about you, our teenagers? Even at life at school, do you choose joy? So is Paul. We understand that there's 4 chapters, 104 verses. 16 of those verses, he talks about joy and rejoice. So talking to your kids and your teenagers, your young adult son or daughter is very important. Can I say this to you mothers? There are times that you wear your children on your heart. God has called you to put them in his lap. And it's a hard transition for mothers to get their children off of their heart and to put them in God's lap. It's easy for daddies, because in a minute, I'll tell Cheryl, man, I'm not worried about that, I'm going to sleep. And I'll go straight to sleep because I didn't put them in God's lap, and my wife will stay up all night. What about this? I said, man, you worry too much. Put your kids in God's lap. But we have to slow down long enough to talk to our children, not lecture our children. So if you have babies, prepare for it, because it's not your job to lecture them. It's your job to talk to them. So talking to your kids is very important, but talking to God about your kids is critical. That every morning you get up, you need to make sure that you are praying for your kids, for your teenagers, for your adult children. Just because they are out of your house doesn't mean that you stop praying for them. Sometimes when they're out, you need to pray for them more. Because you don't know what they're doing, but God has said, listen, I've given you the responsibility of stewardship. These children belong to me, but I've given them to you by way of stewardship. Pray for your adult children. They're not going to make the best decisions because I didn't. I remember taking my dad's car. And he would get up for 2 straight years and trying to figure out what happened to the gas. Pastor was stealing the car. I say stealing because I didn't ask for it. And if you didn't ask, I was raised, you're stealing. Amen, parents. So I would take it, put it in neutral, roll down the driveway, and drive from Humble to Kingwood. What I was doing, none of your business, but I was driving, and I didn't have any right to take what belonged to my parents. So I just told my dad that last year. I said, Dad, you know what happened to your Thunderbird? Yeah. I said, that was me. I was taking it. And every now and then, Dara would take it. For 2 years, I kept wondering, what happened to my gas? I said, we did it. You know why? Because I was 44. There was nothing he could do about it, Randy. It's gone now. That's why we need to pray for our children. God has given us a responsibility. So we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our spouse, but we need to pray big. We need to pray bold, audacious prayers for any stage and any circumstances of our children's life, as well as our spouse's life. You got to pray big for your kids. Pray bold for your kids. And there are some times that you need to decree and declare some things over your kids' lives, over your adult children's lives, because sometimes they're not thinking about that because they think they are invincible, that nothing can happen to them, that they can do anything at any time and they'll wake up tomorrow. But I remember one day in junior college, in Coffeyville Community College, I had a couple of guys say, hey, we're going to the party. I said, I'm good. By that time, God had really captured my heart my sophomore year in college. After the mistakes, I'm good, man. And God knew better than I did, because my friend that invited me died that night. That he went to a party. He got involved in a fight. He left, went to the young lady's house, and when he went to the house, the guys that he beat up followed him to the house. He walked out, saw they was coming, shut the door, went back to the room, came back, stuck his eyes in the peephole, and what he didn't know is, when he stuck his one eye in the peephole, the guy already had the nine in the peephole, boom, and killed him that night. So at 6 a.m., my roommate woke me up and said, man, Ethan is dead. And my heart broke. My heart ached for Ethan, because he could have been in the NFL. But sometimes our kids think that they are invincible at 25 and 26 and even 40. And that's why God is telling you this morning that you need to cover your children in prayer, that you need to bless your kids, that you need to honor them, that you need to slow down at the dinner table and not just pray for the food, but pray for their mind, pray for their heart, pray for their body, pray that wherever they go, they would have the fear of the Lord. That was some stuff I didn't do because I had God's fear in my heart, because I had a praying mama and a praying daddy. You can pray hard, and if you pray long enough, there's just some stuff they won't do. But you got to pray. Pray. Paul is saying, listen, every time I think about this church, I'm praying, and I'm praying with joy. So prayer is the most effective tool that a parent has. Prayer is the most effective tool that you have. Prayers go where you can't go. I can't follow Kiki. She don't know this, but there's sometimes I'll be praying, God, if she do wrong, don't even let her sleep at night. You just worry her. Because God, you gave her to me by stewardship. I'm not her biological dad, but you called me to be her dad. And if she's out there acting a plum fool, God, you don't let her sleep well at night. You convict her. You cause her to look at you. Because God, you got purpose for her in her life. What about your children? Nevaeh, there's purpose for you. God has a big plan for you. Judah, he has a big plan for you. And that's why, Brandon and Ashante, it's your responsibility to pray for Judah, to cover Judah, and to love Judah through prayer. So parents, prayer is a parent's way of taking matters into God's hands. When teaching and discipline and molding fails, prayer succeeds. Prayer. Prayer. Don't miss this today. Prayer. Our kids are God's kids. And your children are God's children. So your top priority as a parent isn't to shape their actions. Sometimes you want to shape their actions. That's not your priority. We're too focused on their hearts. What God is saying is, you help them guard their hearts, then they won't do some of the stuff that they have intentions of doing. And that's why you have to help them guard their hearts. I believe we have that scripture up there. Watch over your heart with all diligence, with the extra ale, from it flows the spring of life. It's out of the heart that things come out of, not this pumping heart, but this thinking heart, this thinking heart. And we got to make sure that we're covering our children's minds. So this week I started doing something different. I started texting my daughters a prayer of blessing. And I said, every week, I want to text them. I want to send them a prayer of covering and blessings, that whether she's at Chase Bank, she's at Atascocita High School, she's at the football game, or she out with her friends, I want her to know that her dad cares about her so much that I'm praying for your salvation. I'm praying for your security. I'm praying for your protection. Parents, pray for your children. Worry less, pray more. So here's Paul. He's on house arrest, and he's praying for the church. He's loving them, and he's praying. Two ways you can pray for your children. And the reason I'm not going to be long is because if I preach too long, they won't get it, and I want them to get it. Two ways that you pray for your children. Here's number one. Pray for their spiritual well-being. Look at Philippians 1. You got to pray for their spiritual well-being. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. They can't be filled with the fruit of righteousness until it comes through Jesus. And the only way it comes through Jesus is that they have a relationship with the Lord of the universe. Pray for your kids right now that they would come to know Jesus at an early age. It shouldn't have to wait till they're 40, but sometimes God allows that to happen to get their attention, to let them know, I've been here the whole time. All you have to do is trust me with your heart, trust me with a public confession, and I've been here. But what God is saying is that we need to pray for their spiritual well-being. We pray too much for the football games. God, let them score 5 touchdowns. That's okay. God, protect him in the football game. That's okay. Be more concerned about their spiritual well-being than what they do on the basketball court, what they do on the football field, how good their grades are. If you pray for their heart and you pray for their mind and you pray for their spiritual well-being, all that stuff will line up. So God is saying, pray for your kids and pray for them with joy. So notice, in those verses, Paul is more concerned about spiritual things. He says, man, I want y'all to know Jesus. He's praying for spiritual blessings. Pray for spiritual blessings over your children's life. Stop wanting them to be a millionaire. That's good. But here's the problem. I think it was Biggie said, sometimes it's more money, more problems. Was that Biggie or Tupac? Oh, y'all ain't been saved y'all all life. Y'all know y'all been listening to that rap. Don't play. That was Biggie. Thank you. Amen. You listen to them. You still listen to him. I know you do. The clean version. Sometimes more money, more problems. How do I know? I'm working with people that have more money. And I met with an individual this week, and God clearly showed me it's all relative. It's all relative. That it's not about how much, did I say this right? M's in my bank account. It ain't about that. Yeah, yeah, pastor listen to rap too. Yeah, amen. I listen to it because I want to know what my girls are listening to. But it's not about that. That stuff will come and go. It's about the spiritual matters in their heart. So nothing is more important than their spiritual well-being. Just because you're a Christian, don't you automatically think that your kids will grow and be Christians. That's not how it works. It's an individual decision for them to trust Christ as their Savior. So we're going to pray for their spiritual needs. I believe my family is closer now than we've ever been. Would you agree? Now, don't lie. Would you agree? Amen. Would you agree? You don't know. You just shake your head. I would say yes. You know why? Because we had to go through some stuff. We had to go through some disappointment as a blended family. We had to go through some hurt. We had to lose some stuff. We had to act crazy every now and then. There are some times we didn't speak every now and then. But what we realize is that God allowed us to go through certain things to teach us how to pray for one another. Your job is to pray for your kids. Your kids may make a mistake, steal something from the store, get a ticket for drunk driving, and they may go to jail. Guess what? Pray for them jokers while they're in jail. Pray that God will sober them up, that when God brings them out, that their minds will be right and their souls will be right, because our children are just not perfect. They're not perfect, but you got to pray for them. So this week, I got permission to share the story. I meet with a donor, 4748. I want you to just hear a story. We're sitting there, we're talking about potentially giving to FCA, the ministry I work for. We're talking about some board development. We're talking about international strategies. Because Mr. T, what I try to do in my life is I want to get around the brightest and the best leaders in the world. And I don't care if you're a Muslim, a Hinduist, or whatever. I want to know what you know about leadership. I respect your faith, and I may not agree with it, but I want to be better as a leader. This guy grew up as a Jew, Jewish. Now he raises money all over the world. So we're talking, and all of a sudden, the conversation just shifts. And he said, man, that's just something I need to get off my chest. So we're talking, he said, man, I just want to share my story with you. I'm from Brooklyn. And he said, man, I have anger issues. I've learned long enough that when God shows up in a donor development meeting, it's about God, it's never about money. But when you don't have a heart for people, you want the money, you want the wallet. If you get their heart and God captures their heart, whatever God needs for them to do, he'll bless you with it. That's a note, be more concerned about people than what you can get from people. And that's the problem with the world. We're more concerned about how we can use people or misuse them, and we need to be concerned about their heart. So he said, brother, I grew up with anger issues. I said, how so? He said, man, I grew up and my dad used to punch me in the face. He said, that's all I can remember is my dad punching me in the face. I would make bad grades, he would punch me in the back of the head. I would do something that wasn't right, he would punch me. And then he would tell me, hey, get this handkerchief and clean the blood off. Think about that growing up. And he said, and my parents are very narcissistic, that all they think about is themselves, that it's all about them. And to make a long story short, he said, man, my son and daughter just got married, and I literally got in a fight at both weddings with my dad, who's still a Jew, and when I accepted Christ, my family disowned me for 12 years, that I lost everything. And he said, Eric, what I'm trying to say is, I hate my dad right now, and I just got quiet in the restaurant. He said, man, I need to know how to pray for my dad, because I want to pray for him, but I hate him, because every thought I have is him punching me, cussing my mother out, misusing my brothers. And tell me, how can I pray for my dad when I hate him that much? I said, oh, that's easy. It's a matter of your heart. That God has to heal your heart first before he can get you to pray for him. All I'm trying to tell you, it's about spiritual matters. That this guy probably can buy whatever he wants. He raises money all around the world, but he got issues in his heart that stem from his childhood. Quit worrying about what you can get for people and start praying for people. Pray for their heart. Pray for their mind. Pray for where they're hurting. Pray that God will heal them. Most of all, pray that God will deliver them. I think here's the real reason why I'm telling you this. You got to be careful what you say to your kids. You got to say, did I really mean to say, yeah, I did. And I'm trying to get better at learning how to go apologize when I'm wrong. Because I was taught when I grew up, parents don't apologize. And I think that's one of the reasons I don't whoop, spank, discipline my kids with the belt, is because there were times I just wish my parents would have talked to me. But hey, it is what it is. And every now and then you got to debone them. Every now and then. Amen. In a good way. What I'm saying is you got to pray for your kids. Pray for them that they would be all that God wants them to be. And here's the second thing. Pray for kids to live lives that honor God. Lives that honor God. Where did I find that? Philippians 1 verse 27. Here we go, and I'm done. 1:27. He says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Underline these words. Conduct and worthy. Man, those two words in the Greek flip me. Brandon, put that on the screen real quick. Conduct, political term. In the Greek, it's a term from which we get the word political or policies. It says the word means in this context to govern, to be free as a citizen and to live as such. To conduct oneself according to the laws and customs of the state, So it means to live or order one's life and conduct. We want to pray that our children's lives will honor Christ. That's the bottom line. That our kids will make decisions that bring glory and honor to Christ. And here's the second one, worthy. It means deservingly or equal value. Our conduct should match our gospel. Your conduct needs to match the gospel. Match your life with your beliefs. If you believe this, live it in front of your kids. You have to live it. Now, my mom may not listen to the podcast, so if she does, I'm going to get in trouble. Aaron was two. And we're going out the neighborhood we used to live in. And I get right out to right there by the car wash. I'm turning out of our neighborhood where we used to stay. And I'm getting out of there, and all of a sudden, cars just come, vroom, vroom. And I'm trying to be patient. And my little baby at two, get out of the GD way, lady. So I said, did Aaron just say that in the car seat? So I said, what did you say? I said, get out of the way, lady. So I said, wait a minute. Where did you get that from? Nana said it. You know, they're going to tell everything at 2 years old. So I picked up the phone. I said, Mama, did you? Oh, yeah, that happened yesterday. What I'm trying to tell you, more is caught than taught. Everything she heard from my mom, she repeated it on that day and much more. So I'm trying not to embarrass you. I'm going to keep it clean. But I was like, wow. What I'm trying to say is, hey, if we teach them to honor God with their words, with their heart, with their body, guys won't be so quick to mess over them. Because if you teach your daughters to value themselves and then teach them the game, then they can see the game when it's happening. And they can value themselves and not sleep with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes around. Sometimes you just need to pull your skirt up, I'm being real today, and say no. And I'm going to wait till God gives me the man of my dream. And when he comes, I will know it. So you have to teach your girls to be girls. I'm being raw and uncut today because we need to help our girls. Too many girls are struggling with low self-esteem because they let some dude mess over them. They let some guy get in their head. And can I just be real? You may have to edit this. In the streets, we used to say, man, you get in their heads, you get them in the bed. We got to start teaching our daughters to cover their head, to cover their mind, to protect themselves, and to value what God created. But it's your job. It's your job. So in closing, it's your job. We got to pray for them that their lives would match their beliefs. We need to pray for them while they're on social media. Because any and everything is being said on social media. We need to pray for them that they would exercise wisdom when it comes to dating and to marriage. We need to pray for them that they would be able to steward God's finances well. We need to pray for them when they have their smartphones and their laptops and their apps. Right now, I'm doing a study on pornography because I'm starting to teach so many men. The biggest sin that's in America church today is pornography. And now we're wondering why men have emotional affairs with somebody at their office or with something on the screen is because most of the men that's in God's church are steeped into pornography. That we come and we worship God, but we go home late at night, we hit that one button, and we're watching stuff that's getting in our minds, and it gets into our hearts, and then it starts getting into our marriage. I walked with Brandon through that yesterday. We have to be careful not to get into that junk because it causes damage in the marriage. That's us as men. What about your kids? The biggest growing population demographically that's in pornography is from the age of 8 to 14. 8 to 14. And the biggest gender that's starting to watch pornography, women. And I was blown away. We got to teach our daughters to value themselves by the way we pray. And here's the last thing. When we're praying for them, life is not fair. There's challenges. There's setbacks. There's hard times. But when we teach them to honor God, they will know how to handle hard times. So my cousin was telling me something this week that I thought was funny. She bought Blake something, my little cousin. He calls me Uncle Eric, but I'm really his cousin. And he said, she said, yeah, he's punished. Something you bought, he lost it, something happened. And she said, oh yeah, he's out there power washing. But cousin, something great came out of it. That even though I disciplined him to power wash because of what he lost, our next door neighbor came by and said, hey, can you do our driveway next? Sure. And then she said another neighbor came by. Say, hey, can you do our driveway? And then another one. And then she called me. You know my cousin gonna work me because I'm a cousin. You know, cousin, maybe you can. I got it. He's on my list. I'll get him to come by. Watch this. Because she chose to discipline him, to teach him how to honor God in his decisions, to be responsible, a business could be birthed out of disappointment. Every now and then, you got to pray for your kids and let them go through hard times, because it's in hard times that God can birth a vision, a ministry, a career, a dream in their hearts. You got to step back and let God have his way. Let God have his way. So parents, let God have his way. She's little now, but she's going to grow up. That's God's child. She's God's child. That's God's children. My daughter, 25, that's still God's child. God's child. God's child. Your boys, God. Your boys, God. Yeah, you belong to him too. And every day, you get up and you put your children in God's lap and say, God, I'm bringing the veil to you. She's yours. Would you cover her now with the blood of Jesus? And as you're covering her, cover my mind. Because I'm at work, God, but I'm worried all day long. They cover my heart. Because the older they get off your heart. I was told they get off your lap and they get on your heart. It is not a day go by that my wife is not worried about Kiki. And I said, baby, quit worrying about her. Put her in God's lap. And if she comes in at 2, you pray that nothing happens to her on the road. Because in her mind, she's invincible. But we know better. Put her in God's lap. And let God take care of them.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.